Thanks for joining me this morning. I see there are a few people here. That's wonderful. So I'm going to talk about well-written project charter minimizes confusion. When I prepared a topic for this fusion session, I always think, what can I share that can be helpful, very tactical, something that you could take home with you and after the conference just start using? So most of my presentations that I have done have been like that. And I thought, the last few years I have been in projects that have been, I call them almost rescue projects. I go in, they have an issue, they need to help with whatever it is, technology, organization, governance, people, figuring out basically how to rescue the situation or build something new, or they're kind of stuck a little bit. I have presented about governance, IT service management governance, multiple times. That's an area where people are struggling a lot with, difficult to understand. But then I realized, what is another area that is really causing a lot of noise, confusion, and creates uncertainty? And this is when projects are not perfectly described, aligned, organized. So let me see if I can get the clicker. So have you ever experienced this? You have all these individuals, you have your project sponsor, maybe you have a Scrum Masters, you have project members, you have development teams, you have an agile coach, stakeholders, they're all asking all these questions. You know, who are the project members? When does the project start? What is the scope? Do we have a timeline? What are the key risks? What is really included? What is not included? Are we doing agile? Are we doing waterfall? Who is the project manager? Who is the sponsor? Do we have enough resources? What are we trying to do? We're delivering some tangible outputs, but what are we trying to do? What does success look like? And then if you are a project manager, or if you are a member of a project, you feel like these two guys here on the slide. It's very frustrating. You're pulling your hair out. You're having all these questions. You don't know really what's in scope, what's out scope, who do I go and talk to, who are the key members, who is steering us? Do we have a steering committee? What do they do? All of these questions. I say it's independent of what type of project that you are running. It could be a traditional waterfall. That's what I've been doing the last couple of years. I've also been involved in some agile projects. They all need to be defined. It could be software, hardware, organizational design. The current project I'm in, where I'm creating a governance model. So independent of what type of project, independent of what type of member you are of the project, if you are the project manager, or you are part of the development team, or maybe you're running a work stream, I call them work stream or sub-project or tracks, I'm going to use that a lot. So whatever you call it, you will always have these questions. And it creates a lot of unnecessary noise. So when I go into an organization, I try to minimize the noise, the confusion. And how do I get out of this situation of all of these people, the sponsor, my leadership, the organization I'm working for? They're all asking these questions. How do I get out of this situation? What do I do? Any idea? Yeah, what's the name of this session? What's the name of the session? You say a good charter. So, you know, to minimize the noise, to get out of these issues, to make sure people understand who is involved and all these things, you create a well-written project charter. If you write a document that is 150 pages, so maybe you have everything in there, but are people going to read it? No. So you need to write, or you need to put enough content in there so it makes sense. So you're getting rid of all the unnecessary noise, the confusion. So you can focus on delivering, executing, and get to the end. So I call it, what does success look like? You can have a deliverable, a Word document, but what does success look like? People should read it, understand it, use it, maybe change. So those are very important things. What do I usually say? I say, read the frickin' project charter. I mean, shouldn't be that blunt, but when I get all these questions, I say, please read the project charter. If you have any other questions, I'm here, I can help you, I can guide you. It really settles a lot of dust. A lot of confusion and clarity. Have you experienced this? What are some of the key things? I want to hear from you. Are you part of a project right now? What are the pain points that you see? Any thoughts? Any suggestions? Yes?
It's not a current project, but it's one that I finished at the beginning of the year. We didn't have a project charter. It was a lot of different teams. It was a very long project. So as we progressed, the confusion ensued about who was doing what, when it was going to be delivered, general scope questions that just come up.
Did you have anything describing what the project was about?
We had, it's interesting you asked that. The project scope was a replacement of a different tool with the same functionality, just getting off an aging platform. So that's really all it said. Was do everything that the current tool does, but just put it on the new platform. It's not quite that easy.
But was it clear who was involved, how long, you know, the goals, what? No? No, but most IT projects fail today, right? I'm not saying that if you don't have a project charter, it's going to make it successful, but it would help. So I have a few USBs here with all of my templates. I'm going to give you one.
Thank you.
Any other suggestions, thoughts, pain points? Yes? Oops, sorry. Scope creep, very, very good, yes. I've seen that multiple projects.
I think it's mainly because it's not defined up front what is truly in scope.
I'm in a project right now, classic. So we did a proof of concept for one piece of technology, very successful. We managed to finish all the objectives. And now the client says, oh, but we selected another tool. Now you need to do the proof of concept with this tool. And I just clearly told him, please, can we look in the project charter? What is the scope? We're not going to do 15 of these. We did one. Right? So scope creep, very, very important aspect. Any other thoughts? Are you talking about the roles and responsibilities are unclear? Is that?
It's not so much that they're unclear, but there's no authoritative source dictating.
There's no sponsor.
There's no sponsor at a level where the other people who are expected to contribute have any reporting sponsorship is not at the level where the people that they were who are expected to contribute.
So maybe you didn't have the right sponsor. Maybe you didn't have the right people engaged, right?
You said that so well. Yes.
Yes. So again, this is the tool where you write it down, you present it to the individuals who are, you know, paying for this, and say, I think these individuals or the roles and responsibilities are not right. I don't think we can be successful. So there are a number of critical success factors, also part of the project charter. You might want to list them. You want to make sure we have sponsorship on the right level. You want to make sure that the organization is engaged. Maybe we need some organizational change management activities. All of those things, you know, small little things, has a place in the project charter. If you put it up front in the face of the leadership or the sponsors, then they can say yes or no, that this is, you know, information that we agree with or that we don't agree with. Very important aspect. When I take on a new project, I need to understand, what am I supposed to do, either as a member or as a project manager? If I have a project charter and I go to the steering committee where we have the right level of sponsorship, I say, do you agree? Do you sign off on this? So this is a very important aspect of making sure that we have no scope creep, the right people are involved, the critical success factors and so on are stated. Any other thoughts? Yes. You already have a USB with all the templates. Do you want another one? You can have another one.
One question as a follow-up to this current discussion. So do you have any suggestions when you are running it more of an agile project where sort of the transition, so it's not quite agile, not quite waterfall. So if we do a really good project charter, and with the agile principles that we've learned, if our customer gets smarter and says, well, you know what, I asked for that, it's really not what I want, how do we incorporate those changes into the project charter and make sure that it's still accurate?
So it is a living document. Agile is, I would say, it's changing the scope over time, right? You have a product owner that is pushing it forward. However, you still need to have many of these things defined in a project charter. So it works both in an agile world and in a waterfall world. This document that I am sharing today is more targeted towards the waterfall, because that was the last current project I'm running. I thought I'm just going to use it and share it. but I update the project charter frequently in the beginning. If there are significant changes, I ask for approval from the steering committee. But there is another document. There's a one-page document that I include. We will dive into a little bit. That is really the I would say, one of the most important documents. If that changes a little bit, it just clarifies what's included, so you don't need approval for that. But if it extends the timeline or some significant changes, then that's why you have a steering committee. They will approve. If they have scope creep and if they agree on the new timeline, the new funding and so on, then you have scope creep, but under a controlled way, right? Okay. We have already covered couple of this. So what does the project charter really accomplish? I call it, you don't have to answer the same question over and over and over and over and over. It just drives you crazy. Also, you can see it says consistent answer of the same question. Every time I get the question, I can answer the same way because I've written it down. Or I can read it. As a team member of the project, if I read the project charter and I get that question, who is the project manager? Well, it should be the same person that you're stating. How often do we send our status reports? Who is in the steering committee? If we have it written down, the same question should get the same answer, right? Very, very important. And you can also say, you know, read the frickin' project charter, and if you have more questions, come back. I'm busy. Don't disturb me. I mean, you wouldn't state it in that way, but you can say, I have, you know, placed it here in a SharePoint, please read it, and you know, if you have questions, I can answer them. So always the same response. Very important, what is not included? What is the scope and what is not included? If you specifically know I'm going to do these three things, but these other two, I'm not doing it. So you need to state that. Otherwise, the organization or the customer or the client or whoever you're working with, he can say, oh, I thought this was included. So I had a very specific thing that happened to me 2 weeks ago. We had specifically written about KPIs and SLAs. It was part of the project charter that we said all of those 200 plus SLAs should be documented and the calculation should be defined, how to calculate the SLA. So I was working with the team and they said, we can do that later. Now we have the definition, you know, high level. But that should be enough. And I just went into the charter and said, look, this is exactly what we stated. You need to finish the work that you have done. So we extended that work stream for 1 week. Because that's what we promised to deliver to the client. Understanding of the goals, objectives, output, and what does success look like? I mentioned that. It's one of the questions I have in another template that I think is one of the most important templates when clarifying what is included. Let's say that you deliver a document, a framework that describes something. That is the tangible deliverable. But what does success look like? That people read it, understand it, use it, implement it, and actually changing their way they're working. That is what success is, not the physical document itself. So that what I like to state. Obvious resources, funding. When is the project done? You know, high level timeline. I don't know, I put it on one slide to just kind of get a general idea. The roles and responsibilities, we talked about that. Who is involved? A couple of months ago, I was going to where I'm currently working. I'm working in Milan in Italy. I arrived. I was part of a sub-project there. So my first question was, who is the project manager? They could not answer that question. So then my next question was, do you have a project charter? They didn't have one. So I said, maybe you should, you know, create a project charter. Now it's very well defined. But that was my first question. Who is the project manager? Who should I work with? Because I am part of this sub-project. Now I'm running the project for multiple other reasons. But I said, okay, to do this, we need a steering committee, we need the project charter. So I used my own templates and has been very successful. I also include the reporting structure. I call it the templates. How do I report so people understand? When do they expect reports? How does it look? What information is included? I'm not going to write a book every week or every month. You know, what type of information? So I include that. And of course, what it accomplishes is minimize the unwanted noise. When you start a project or when you're running a project, you have sometimes these leaders coming in and, you know, I call them the bombs or you know, the hurricanes. They come in for 2, 3, 4, 5 days and they rip things to pieces and try to ask all these questions and creates a lot of noise and confusion. Having a project charter and telling them, you don't need to be part of all these meetings. I would even read the project charter. Here's the latest report. And if you have any questions, come back and ask me. A lot of confusion and noise disappears. And they feel confident that having this document, I have the scope, I have the player, I know what the output should be and so on. So they don't need to call you 15 times a day and ask you the same question, you know, 100 times. A lot of unwanted noise is removed. If you Google what is a project charter, you get a bunch of, you know, Google responses. Can I see here is a statement of scope, objectives, and participants. Formally authorizes the existence of the project. Official document formally authorizing the project. many different, you know, definitions. I'm not going to go through this, but I'm saying that what it is, it describes this. It's not more complicated than that. Whatever you want to put in this document, that is what the project charter is. Scope, objective, goals, output, timeline, sponsor, participants, key stakeholders, the people that you deliver, what you're supposed to deliver to, roles and responsibilities, other resources, and so on. You don't have to be so formally complicated or Google it or whatever you want this document to be. You can make it into, you know, the document that works for you and your organization. So what is the perfect project charter? Expectations are high. I'm going to give it to you now, right? I'm going to give you the perfect project charter. You can go home, start populating, using it, and all your pain will be gone. Right? Well, there is no such thing as a project charter. Either you write it too long or too short, or you don't have the right content, or, you know. So the whole idea with this presentation was to share something useful. And I call them ready to use. And I have a number of templates. Those are not all the templates I'm using when I'm executing projects, but they're the most significant and I think most helpful templates. And I ran a couple of very large global projects last couple of years. Year before I was in Sweden, now I'm in Italy, in Milan, and I've been working in the US as well. I live and work in the US, but I haven't been working there much, so I have a Swedish passport, which helps. So this is a starting point. The information I'm going to share with you and that you have on these USB, you can pick one, and I'm going to show you where they are available to download rather than... So this is my web page, but it was the easiest way for you to... You can't see that, but you can see it there. It was the easiest way to share the documents. There are much more other templates and useful information that if you want to download it there. But the idea is ready to use. It's a starting point, but you need to make it into your own sort of what works within your project or your environment. I have global projects and the culture. I'm working with an Italian client right now. The culture is very different than Italy. They expect you to be on site. They expect you to speak Italian, which I don't. But when I worked in Germany, totally different culture than Italian. I'm Swedish. Also different culture. US, also different culture. What type of information makes sense? Your organization, is it an energy company? What are they focused? Or is it a financial company? I worked for the Montreal Exchange many years. Their downtime of 1 second was a disaster. I worked for Shell Canada. Their IT projects are 50 years long. If you are down for a day, you survive, but in the Montreal Exchange, it was 1 second. So you see, a totally different culture. And so it depends on the organization, the culture, what type of industry you're in. You need to shape all of these templates and documents so they work for you. So it's a starting point. Every time I start a new project, I change them. I update them. Not much, but make sure that they work for me in that environment. These are the templates that we will look at. We're going to look at the project charter itself, the Word document. I'm going to open it, and we're just going to go through it real quick. Then I have this. This is one of the most important documents I have used to really understand what the project is all about. Most projects have different tracks or work streams. So this is what I call the work stream. Currently, I have 5 work streams in the project that I'm executing. One of the work streams is organizational change management. But you need to describe that as well. One is to do some changes in ServiceNow. Another one is to build a new operating model. Then we have some, you know, some other work streams. But they can be hardware, software, they can be organizational. And we said, we're going to create a specific track, work stream, or sub-project for organizational change management. To describe what that track and work stream is extremely important. Also very difficult. But we will look at that in a second. Then I have a project plan. I use Excel. I mean, there's zillions out there, but I'm sharing one that I've used. Resource plan, also Excel. Risk register, standard stuff, but you know, when you Google it and try to find it, or, you know, difficult to find. So I thought, why not share some of the good templates I've used? Action points, very simple. Then I have 2 reporting templates. One is the weekly work stream or track or sub-project. And then I have the overall project report. And they are synchronized. Because if you're the project manager, you don't want to have to rewrite the story every time. So depending on what your tracks, your work streams are reporting, you should use that information and share it quickly in the overall project plan. So those are the documents. Then on the right, and you can see there, this little thingy represents the project charter. These documents are used to define the project as input to the project charter, and some of these documents are used when executing. I mean, you using that executing, you know, action points and risk register and so on. So it's used both ways. You can create your risk register when you're defining your project charter, because you might already have some really significant risks you want to include in the project charter. But when you're executing, you continuously need to update your risk register. Many projects I've seen, they are not using that very successfully. I am using it as both risks and issues. I'm not differentiating those, even though it's a big difference. But I use that same template that puts in risks and issues. When a risk has happened, it's an issue. If a risk has not yet happened, it's not an issue, it's a risk. But let's say the risk is that John might be leaving and he has a very significant skill which will delay the project, that is a risk. Okay, so he goes out and bumps his knees and needs to go to the hospital for 3 weeks, now we have an issue. So now the risk has happened. Right? So I'm using that document for tracking both. Okay, so project charter, these are some of the things we're going to look at. Who's a sponsor, introduction, executive overview, scope, resource requirement, critical success factor, dependencies, schedule, timeline, the organization, how we govern ourselves, risks, and then the one-page workstream description, reporting, and so on. So let's just quickly look at that Word document so you can have a quick view how it actually looks. And the idea here is I can share this, but then you still don't have the Word document. But if you have the Word document, you can start just entering information, which makes it so much quicker. Let me see where we have this. That's the whole idea. I usually do a little fancy logo up there. Up front, the project sponsor. Who is sponsoring this thing? If we need more of or less or changing or also chairing the steering committee. Some document information. Content. Then the first introduction. Who should read this? What it's all about. And then I have the first really key section, which is the executive overview. What's the goal of this thing? What are we trying to do? Usually I have tracks, work stream, or sub-projects, and I put the goals of each of those work streams. And I might list some pain points. Maybe I have a section later on with some pain points, but if there are some significant pain points that is important in the executive overview, I include them. About 50% of the time, I also write the problem statement. What is the issue here? It's maybe similar to pain points, but there could be, it could make sense that this is the problem we're facing. This project is trying to fix it. This is the goals and deliverables and output that we will, that we are going to deliver. I like to have some graphical representation, whatever makes sense for you. Here I have the first section of talking about the sub-projects / work streams. Again, it's very high level. Overall, this document right now is 19 pages. When you're done writing this, it's going to be about 15 to 25 pages. I think that makes sense, because depending on who you are, you want to have enough meat so you understand what's going on. If you're a project member, you want to dive a little bit deeper. If you're an executive, you just want to read the first three pages, right? So again, a graphical representation, I've learned, really helps. So it's worth spending the time doing some nice graphics like PowerPoint, but also talk about it in text. Write it in text, sentences. And who is... Okay, so what's the name of this first track? Who is leading it? And in my case, I work for a client, so the client's single point of contact. If you have an internal project, who is the single point of contact within your organization? And I'm not talking about the highest leader. This is the day-to-day person that you work with to move this thing forward. Because if you're... In my case, I'm a consultant, so I go in and I help clients, so I need to have a person at the client that I can talk to on a frequent daily basis. What do you think we should do here? Which direction should we go? And so on. So you need to identify that person. Resource requirements. I have an Excel spreadsheet there. You can capture it, but it's, I mean, what do you need? People, money, skills, infrastructure, facilities, and anything else. You should state it up front. If the steering committee signs off, you can go back and say, you promised this, that I would have five guys working here, and we needed the skill for this. Or you said the budget was, you know, X number of dollars. Where's the money? You promised that. You know, otherwise, you're going to have delays, or you're going to change the scope, or, you know. So you can push your leadership using this. I mentioned critical success factors. What is absolutely needed? Don't state, you know, 15 things, sir. Maybe 4 or 5. I stated here, we need organizational change management. That was a project that said, we're changing so much. If we don't have strong OCM, this thing is not going to happen. It's not going to work. In this case also, I had allocated resources must be sufficient time. It's very easy for an organization. And John, Mary, Frank, you're it. But do they have enough time to actually execute? State it up front. And if they don't, you go back to your leadership, to your steering committee, and say, this is a risk. We need to deal with it. You add it in the risk register, and then you present it. Critical dependencies per work stream I put here, or some general. I'm just a table. This is the project schedule. In this case, I mentioned I had 5 work streams. I just cleaned it up a little bit and included it. It gives a very good understanding. When are we done? You might have different phases. You can use different colors. So from just looking at this for, you know, 15 seconds, you understand when the different work streams are going to be executed and when they're done. You don't have to read a detailed Excel spreadsheet, Microsoft project plan. No, this is it. I call this the one-page timeline. It changes all the time. Every week or so, I update this because some of the dates are moving in between due to different things. So we update it every week. We're not updating the project charter every week, but we're sharing the slide every week. Project sponsor, project manager. I have included the definitions here for you. So you know what it means? Who are they? Who is part of the steering committee? That's a big thing. I've seen many projects don't have a steering committee. Absolutely necessary. Who decides? If you are at the point in the project, I can go to the left or I can go to the right. Which direction should I go? You ask them. They should take that decision. However, you must present the pros and the cons. You must say, if we go to the left, that means this. If we go to the right, it means that. Right.
Who are typically these people when they enter?
The steering committee? Usually the person that holds the money. Okay. and can decide, has the authority to decide about people, organization, money. So whoever that is, it could be a client. In my case, I include my leaders from my organization, from TCS, and I also include some leaders from the client, because it might have an impact on how we operate as a consulting organization, or it might impact how they are operating or you know, sharing resources, funding, or timelines. Both of those needs to be represented. Key stakeholders, these are the people you deliver something to. Risks, obviously, we're going to look at the risk register. And this is the one-page overview. We're going to look at that. I don't send too many reports to too many people, I include the list here already so people know who will receive the reporting. Here's the report. We will look at that as well. And then I have the risk register matrix. It's a 20-page document, fairly straightforward, simple. You will have this template, and you can now populate the information in there. The sections you don't like, you delete, and if you need to add another section, maybe you have geographical areas, you need to explain the different regions in the world, you add it here, right? Very, very straightforward. How are we doing with time?
You have about 20 minutes.
Good, good, good. I think we're doing okay. So this was this document. Again, you will have the Word document. If you need to get one of those USBs, you can grab that. The next document, and if there's anything to remember from this presentation, I think this is it. This is the most important document that I have used over the years. I mean, that you need to include in the project charter. It's very difficult to write this. You need to put your work stream or your track or your sub-project on one page. That's not a lot of space. I mean, you can do font 6. Mm-hmm. You know, you get maybe a little bit more, but still, you run into the problem. What are the most important things that you should describe? Doing this exercise, spending time to create this, will really force you to think about what are the key things? What are the key deliverables? What are the things that I need to describe here to make sure that this is a good description of my track? So right now, in my project I'm running, I have 5 of these. I have 5 work streams, 5 tracks. Each of them has written one. Because I have work stream leads, I am also a work stream track responsible for... I'm running the project, plus I'm track responsible for one of the tracks. Right? So I have to write it myself. It's very, very difficult. Extremely helpful. Because now, when you have done this exercise, you can tell the world and your people within the project, this is what we should do. Because very often it's very vague. You said, replace the existing tool with a new tool with the same functionality. It's extremely vague. By when? It's a template that is a starting point. I always say that. Use it, change it, make sure you can feel comfortable within your environment, organization. So this is the work stream. It has a name. Also, when it was last updated, I think it's important, because this document will be frequently updated. In the beginning, every 2 or 3 days, we update this. Because we learn more about the project. We clarify things. We want to make sure we have a good description. And then we include it in the steering, in the project charter. We get the approval. After that, we're still updating it. Maybe some dates change. Maybe the wording can be better. So what is it? Short description with text, 4, 5, 6 sentences. What is this thing all about? And then I mentioned this. What does success look like? It's different than from what are the deliverables. I have an example on the next slide, but a deliverable is maybe the document. The next slide is an example. You will also have that in your, you know, that you can download. But it says, I am going to deliver a document that describes a new IT service management governance model. That's fine. But what does success look like? People read it, understand it, implement it, and they're changing their way they're working. They understand the roles and responsibilities and actually start executing. That is what success looks like. For this to be finished and done, this is what I need. The organization to feel, do, you know, be aware of. These are the tangible outputs: hardware, software, the document, new organizational structure. But what does success really look like? Very, very important. I think this is really key to get this. This is very difficult to get it right. Then on the right hand side, some who are involved, work stream, you know, the lead, who is the client or your internal organization person that you're gonna, you know, maybe you only have one lead sometimes, maybe you have multiple leads depending on, you know, or you have maybe two or three organizations you need to work with. So I call it then some key membership. Start date, end date, what are the risks? Maybe you already know what you need to do about the risk. What are the resources that you need, and dependencies and assumptions? When you see this, it makes sense. Because if you describe it like this, you have a very good understanding of what this part of the project will do. However, the works team will have a separate, you know, project plan, and they will have other documentations, and they will describe the deliverables in more detail, and they will have, you know, much more around it. But this is kind of the consolidated version. When the steering committee approves the project charter, this is one of the documents that should be included. So whatever they have, we have here, and here, they say, yes, I agree. That's what we should do. That's what is needed. This is an example. A couple of years ago, I ran this. It's an IT service management governance framework. So a defined IT service governance framework where people understand their roles and responsibilities versus approved IT service management governance framework, version 1. This is a document. Big difference.
Excuse me.
Yes.
I am project management dub. The acronym you've got there for SMART, S-M-A-R-T, as one of your key milestone deliverables, what's that stand for?
It's specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time-bound. Right? Did I get that right? Specific, measurable, achievable, wasn't it? Realistic, time-bound. So if you are very specific, you can measure it. I mean, it's achievable, it's realistic, and when should it be done, right? If you just Google SMART, then you will find it. Sometimes they use a little bit different wording. You were nodding, maybe you know what?
Yeah, we use it a lot of places, but
yeah. It's a very good way of defining, you know, like a deliverable. What is it? You know, when should I? I need to be very specific. Does it make sense? Is it realistic? You know.
Thank you.
Yes. Any other questions? Very important document, right? Super, super important. Okay. Next one: resource plan and project plan. I think I'm going to speed up a bit. There are two Excel files. You can do this in MS Project. I'm using Excel. I've used MS Project. But I still fall into using Excel. Why? Everybody has the application on their laptop or PC. I mean, pretty much everyone knows how to use it. Most often, you don't need to be that sophisticated. Technology can slow you down. If people don't know the application very well, and I'm going to add another whatever, and it's like, shoot, oh, I clicked on something wrong, and damn, now, oh, it's all screwed up. What do I do, and how do I print it? And, you know, it's like, whoa. Excel, people know. So both the project plan and the resource plan. I mean, resource plan is pretty obvious, you know, who is involved, what's the travel, you know, how many hours do they spend, do we have a rate, and so on, right? But simple to use. I have created some templates here. Again, I'm just going to look at them real quick. I'm not going to dive into it, but it's there. So rather than Googling or ask your friends or have you seen a good project plan I have. So this is the resource template. You can see here some budgeting. There are some formulas in here. You can see these are the hours based on the rate, it's the time, and then we have, you know, some people how much they work. This is more maybe more of a consulting world. If you're doing this within your own organization, maybe you only need to keep track of the travel, because that's usually what costs the most, right? So whatever, again, use it. This is a little bit more sophisticated than most organizations use. Maybe you only need to have the names and how many hours and the travel budget, and that's it. Let's look at the project plan. Here. Takes a while to create a file like this. But over the years, I've noticed it makes sense because it's so easy, too simple. I have small little green dots. Those are sort of key milestones. And then I have deliverables. These are the tangible deliverables. These are important dates. And this is just color coding. And these dates that you see there, there is some sophistication, a little bit of sophistication. If I click on one of those, it's one of those Excel formulas. I stole it somewhere. You can see here first a little bit of space, and then it's the date, minus 3 days, and then the format, the day, month, and then, you know, the different reference fields. If I click here, you will see the date up on top here. You can drag this, and now you see the date will change. Now we have a date out here, right? So we need to drag it back. Or, depending on this one, you can drag it like this. So now you see key activity group here, which is, you know, we need to synchronize that. So there is a little bit of sophistication here. Makes it simpler to work, the file. But the power is that it's very easy to update and use and share, and people can actually you know, work with this file without knowing Microsoft Project. Very large, sophisticated projects. Maybe this is not sufficient, but most cases I have seen, this is enough. If you go in there and look and say, okay, so which things have we completed? So you can see the color code at the bottom. Planned is bluish, completed green, delayed is yellow, and then vacation is kind of pinkish. Very simple. Green, 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 blue, some milestones. So you can see in here, if you want to see where are we today, this is where we are today. Very easy to share. Anyone can open it and read it. Obviously, you can share them as project files and people can read it and open it. But most people are familiar with Excel. I have 10 minutes. Okay. I think we're pretty much on track. I mean, there's nothing super sophisticated special about these templates, but they're useful. And you can start using them tomorrow or even right after this session if you're part of a project and you say, what's my project? In the project plan, there were different tabs that you can see. There are deliverables and you can do a work breakdown structure and be a little bit more sophisticated. Again, use it what makes sense for you in that environment. Risk register, very important document. Many projects that I have ran into, they don't have this. They might not have the template. They might not know how to record this. Maybe they said, we wrote the risk in the minutes of meeting. That happened 6 weeks ago. But who is looking at that now? No one. So this is something I've used over the last couple of years. I've modified it a little bit here, a little bit there. So depending on how you want to use it, maybe you want to have different drop downs. Let me just go in there. Where's the risk register? Here. Let me go all the way to the left. It's very simple. You have a number. And then I call it the work stream. I see I have, you know, 5 work streams and then other. Sometimes you have risks that are not associated with that. Where do I get that data from? Well, I have this list file here. Again, a little bit of Excel. You can see this is the section I selected. You can do this, or you can just go in and do regular lists in Excel, either way. I like to have it like this because it's so simple to edit. When was it, or okay, is it active? Yes, no, canceled, risk happened, completed, closed. When did we identify it? What's the category? You might want to change these categories. These are some examples, process, technology. And then you write it. What is this risk all about? What could happen? What's the potential impact? So this is the risk description. If the risk is happening and now we have an issue, what would the impact be? Who is assigned to that should deal with this? And then you have probability. What's the likelihood that this is going to happen? 1 to 5. If it happens, how bad is it? What's the impact? And then this is calculated automatically. In the project charter, I include risks that are 15 and higher. All the other risks that you might want to include here, at the moment they might have a low impact or low probability. They might grow over time, but you want to still keep them in the risk register. But I display to the leadership and to the steering committee members 15 and higher. Maybe you have a lot of risk, maybe you want to say 20 and higher. You decide. What's the response strategy? Do you want to mitigate? Do you want to get rid of it? Do we just accept it? You know, avoid, transfer to somewhere else. What are some of the things you're trying to do to eliminate it? And if the risk has happened, now we have an issue, what are you doing? Very simple. The nice thing is here you can, of course, filter on, you know, 15, or you can filter on that's what are the organizational issues or, you know, whatever you want to filter on. So very, very, very simple. You extract it, put it in the project charter, and now you can tell your leadership what it is. Detailed instruction for you to read, understand the template. Risk response, you know, what does it mean, and so on. Okay?
Quick question on that.
Yes?
Do you ever change the value that you've assigned in letter in column K based on mitigation?
I never change column K. I only change column I and J. But they change all the time.
But through mitigation, can you reduce
absolutely
column Ks? And is that ever demonstrated or
no, I mean, if you put it in the report, right, if you say the probability now is 1 here,
okay,
then of course it's updated to 5 there. And then maybe the impact is 2. Now it's green, right?
Okay, so you go back and change the...
Yes. So I update this every week, pretty much. Every week or every 2 weeks at a minimum. I asked my team to go in, look at your risk register. Has any risks? Maybe there was a risk that, you know, the Christmas vacation, now it's January, so we can delete that risk. Right? So we update it all the time. So it's in the status reporting as well. Where do we have? Where are we now? So that was here. Let me speed up a little bit, I think. Action points, very straightforward. I'm not going to spend time on this one. Now I have 5 minutes. Good. Here is the project reporting. So I have 2 templates. This is the one that each track writes. And this is the one that the project manager writes. So you might get 5 or 10 of these per week or per month, depending on how long or your reporting period is. I do per week. So every week I get 5 of these. And so not to go crazy, I need to have a method. So how do I report it to the overall, you know, leadership? And you can see I made some, you know, what are we? Green, amber, red. So I just transfer from this work stream into this work stream here. Oops. So I said that's green or amber, red. Their statement up here, if they are amber or red, they need to state why. Why are you red? Why are you amber? And then you have your activities. Red, little bit of text. You enter that here. The achievements that you did this week, not the week before or, you know, or the reporting period, I include their key achievements. Very simple. Copy, paste, but okay, you need to clean it up a bit. And this section here, you can see back to green, Sometimes I use this section as, if they are red, what are the activities? Because these are upcoming activities, these are ongoing activities, and these are achievements. Sometimes I use this area, if they are red, to say, what are the 2-3 things that you're doing to get back to be on green? So depending on how often you report, who you report to, you might need to tweak these different templates. So you can see that the weekly project report creation. These are two different templates that, you know, you can download here, or they're part of the USBs. And you can modify them. I modify them every report. What makes sense for me? That was the last slide. So I'm pretty good in time. So, again, what you can add to your toolbox, all these templates to get rid of a lot of unnecessary noise. It's a lot of work to get this done, but when you have actually done it once, you can share it, and you also get the same answer to the same question again and again and again. It really some simple templates, but it works beautifully. I've used it many years, and it does work. So hopefully it will be helpful to you. I have some more USBs here. You can download from my webpage. And if you have any questions, yes?
Question. I'm noticing a lot of similarity between the document charter, the information contained in the charter, and what I would expect to see in a statement of work or even a request for proposal.
Yes?
Do you cross-pollinate anytime when you have access to those files as well?
Absolutely. If there's a wonderful statement in the statement of work, I copy-paste it into my project charter. The statement of work is a more of a financial document.
Right.
The project charter is, it's a little bit shorter and aimed to execution or for fulfilling what's in the statement of work. But absolutely. Yes?
So we're an agile shop.
Yeah.
Not so much waterfall anymore. How, or do you have anything on your site that would sort of lend itself to agile more so than waterfall?
These templates are more towards waterfall because those are the last couple of years I've been working that. However, I work with agile as well. You still need to understand who the scrum masters are, who the product owner is, and what's the overall goal of this, of the different sprints. Maybe you have, you know, kind of a general idea. This is the product we're going to launch. Each sprint, you want to, you know, if you do the 2 weeks or how long, you still have an idea what the scope is. You still have a general idea how big the investment, how long the timeline is. So that's what I'm saying. Tweak it based on your environment. These are more targeted to waterfall because this is the current project I'm running. However, it's a development project, part of that work stream. And in that work stream, there are different sprints, right? So, yes.
So you just come out of it.
Absolutely. But to be honest, it's a little bit more waterfall than more agile right now, these templates, because that's what I'm currently been running. So I thought I'll share that. There was another question?
So I saw that you had the risk track in the register. Did
yes. In my template, no. But if that's important for you and that project, absolutely put a section in there. That's why I'm saying modify it based on what makes sense. Because, I mean, it could be future opportunities based on these deliverables, we will gain A, B, and C. Absolutely. So whatever makes sense for you to use or, you know, add or remove. But at least you have now a starting point. You don't need to go to Google and download a PDF and then rewrite the whole thing. You can use this, I mean. Should be helpful. Okay, and then I think you should do a provide a review of the session. So thank you very much, and I'm around.